I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Today, well, we are trying to save the world by seeing and serving our Savior. That's what we're doing because, as a bumper sticker pointed out on my way home last Sunday, y'all need Jesus, all right? And accent aside, I couldn't agree more. But it did make me wonder, where is that follow-up sticker that also explains exactly where to find him? Because pointing out our problem only gets us halfway home. Somebody needs to actually serve the solution. And seeing as that's our job, I gotta ask you, how do you share Jesus? Because, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And as we saw last week, doing our job right means prioritizing our calling over our career and fulfilling our passion and our purpose by serving others with our God-given gifts. Like we read, I love this little two-part scripture stack here. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind, okay? And to remember what that means, well, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Ready for it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Ta-da! That's it. So it's this simple, right? You know, love others to serve them. That's where we landed last week. But I know what you're wondering. What does that really actually mean? Right? That's a tough one. Well, it's a great question. So let's see what Jesus has to say. To love others, Jesus actually goes on to clarify. He says, well, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. And we're like, okay, we're getting there. But can you still get a little bit more specific there? Okay. Well, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. All right. And note that so means how he loved us, not how much. Because now we do need to know how the Father loved if we're ever going to actually get a specific answer here. And we've all heard that Father God so loved the world, meaning here's how he loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. No. Sent him in to save the world through him. So, okay, all that to say this. Let's recap, run through this here. If we're supposed to love others like Jesus, and he loved like the Father, and the Father loved by sending Jesus to save the world, what should our love look like?
That.
Just like that. Saving others. That's it. That's what it should look like. No wonder Jesus, Savior, and salvation are all forms of the same root word, save. That's what it's about. Saving is love's priority number one when something is in danger. And y'all need Jesus because y'all in danger. All right? If you don't know that, wake up. Here we go, all right? Every one of us is in the middle of a lifelong duel with death itself. And on our own, every single one of us is doomed to defeat. So every one of us needs someone to step in and save us. But none of us have ever accomplished that feat apart from Jesus. Hence, y'all need Jesus, okay? There needs to be a we all. Is that, you're from the South, is that where the wall need Jesus? We'll work on that. So for us, in the meantime, loving others means doing whatever it takes to get them in contact with him so he can save them. But our part can be played many different ways, and some work and some don't. So the question here today is, what is your approach? Because you gotta do something. We have to. Saving others isn't an option, it's our job. It's like the young guy who wanted to work as an usher over at the theater in the mall, just over here. And in his interview, the manager asked him, okay, so what would you do if a fire broke out? And the guy answered, oh, don't you worry about me. I'd get out okay. Don't be that guy. We can't be that guy. If you're ever asked, what would you do if the world ended tomorrow? Your answer better not be, don't worry about me, I'd be okay. It has nothing to do with that. As Christians, it is not enough to be saved. We got to get others out also. That's what evangelism ought to be all about, all right? That's the only time that it ever becomes a bad word is when we do it wrong. In fact, if when it's done right, sharing Jesus should be an inspiring and heroic, life-saving love story like Titanic, right? We all remember that. Oh, the sacrifice, the love. It was so good and pure. What an example. It's only when we do it wrong that it becomes a selfish or abrasive or condescending story like some movie that no one would ever go pay to see. So don't be that guy. So, to do our duty right, we need to assess the situation of the others right where we've been stationed, right? Right around where you're at right now, and then get to work, working on saving their lives, those others right around you. And it's tricky. I mean, I get it. We got a lot of these sort of like broad directives and all this, but if you want an easy to remember rule of thumb on having the right approach, well, here it is, okay? Take notes. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, all right? Step one and two. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of the others, all right? This is an others approach. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. There it is. Take that with you everywhere you go. Don't overthink your actions. Just follow the leader. Learn his story. Learn the story where he himself made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. He did it. Follow that. The more that you know that, learn that, acquaint yourself with that story, you'll naturally get to know the mindset of our Savior. And you'll be naturally equipped with instincts to follow God's example as dearly loved children and be able to walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us. Get to know him. And once we're able to maintain that mindset, right, get what he's doing there, see it, understand it, well, then we can emulate it and we can lead others by our example. And it's wonderful. This is all throughout the Bible. You find this. But I love the way Paul says it here. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, right? Because it's a chain reaction. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many. Because like Jesus, us and Paul have a job to be the servant to all, everyone, all the others that are around you, so that they may be what?
Saved.
That's what we're working toward. And we need to see that. It's all this, imitate me, follow my example, because examples and illustrations are everything when teaching us humans, because us kids like pictures in our books. We're a bunch of 8-year-olds. Let's be honest here, all right? And when it comes to trusting the truth of a real world story, we want to see it to believe it. It's kind of a problem, but that's it. We want to see it to believe it. But because God knows about our nearsighted human handicap, right? How hard it is for us to have faith in something without seeing it. He's got a perfect plan to reach all of us. Here it is. Show it to them. They need to see it to believe it. Show it to them. Give them, all these others in your life, everywhere, give them an up-close look at the power and the process of Jesus' life-saving love story by reflecting his Savior behavior in your life. Show them it works. And that means for us, if that's what you want to do, if that's our job, if we're going to do that, that means monitoring how we mirror his mindset every single day. Because there are three key areas of Jesus's approach that clearly works that are very hard for us humans to do, but it is incredibly critical to an effective example. We have to be able to do these three things, and it comes down to these: how we engage, how we encourage, and how we endure. Three big keys. And because first things come first, we should always, always intentionally engage others. There is, we talked about this last week, there's no second string, there's no bench, there's no sidelines, all right? You are out there, you're at work, get in the game. Be intentional about going to them and engaging them, just like our Savior, right? Jesus walked and talked with people nonstop to share and show the message of God's love and salvation. Everywhere he went all the time. That's the example. And what's really cool about this, though, is he did it differently. He did it differently in different times, in different ways, depending on what each situation demanded. He would change up that approach. So to follow his example, we need to also reach out to have those real relationships, okay? We're talking real relationships. Like he said, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So I'm going to stop right there and make sure that you got that part down. Are you driving people away? Think about it. My grandma did, and she didn't try to, but she was good at driving them away. So check yourself. But Paul adds on to this. He says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. That's it. Because that right there, that accepting, that bringing them in, that builds trust in your intentions, which is crucial to getting others interested in your example. So, bottom line, hear them out to help them out, okay? Gotta open those ears. That's the only way to find out what's keeping them from their Savior. Something is in the way of that relationship. Find out first so you can help out. And that's step one of working to give them what they need to see to be saved, right? You know, you got to diagnose something before you can treat it. So we got to hear them out. You know, as we're told, to answer before listening, well, that is folly and shame. Don't do that. Don't come at people with the answer like you think you have everything figured out for what they need. Hear them out first. Really, and I mean this, really listen. We don't do it very well these days. Really listen, and then really care. And if you need help, remember this. This is no mere mortal that you're talking to, all right? This is one of God's eternal kids who is lost down here in the wilderness. So treat them like you would any frightened child out in the wild. Be calm, and be careful, and be comforting to them, and develop a rapport, start talking with them, and make them see that you see them, right? They need that. And adjust your approach. You know, that's different for every person. Adjust your approach accordingly. We get this from Paul's example. He says, to the weak, I became weak. I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. Okay, there you go. To engage with any effect, to really have that impact, others need to be able to hear you, right? You can't whisper, watch out for that truck. You're going to get run over. You got to go, watch out, right? They got to hear you if you want to have an impact. And that happens when they trust you. And that happens when you hear them, which means it is part of our job to hear their story so they'll hear their Savior. It's part of the process. For everyone, this is a promise, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how then will they call on him whom they've not believed, right? And how are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? They won't. They got to hear it. So engage in a real relationship to start a real dialogue where they can really hear you. But then, as you get those wheels in motion, right, always aim at encouraging others. This is step two that we can have a problem with. Always be encouraging. Jesus, in our example, he spoke words of inspiration and hope to all of the lost and needy all the time. And even in rebuke, even if he was laying into those Pharisees, everything that he ever said, his talks, all of them were always aimed at getting others to see that there was still a way out of death. You know, it was never like, too bad for you, that's that. It was always, what do I got to say? How do I got to say it to get you to hear the good news? And that focus keeps our example as positive as possible. and encouraging, regardless of who we're talking to. Like Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone and anyone who asks you to give the reason for that hope that you have that they can clearly see. But do this with gentleness and respect. Tell you a little sad story. Back in 1909, just up in Vancouver, BC, they got together, the city council spent a fortune, I think it's $100,000 in today's money, on this brand new fancy pants ambulance. Okay, this is a picture of it. Look at how happy they are back then. But this is it, and it was this expensive, you know, cutting edge thing, you know, first of its kind. And so they took it out for a test spin at noon in the middle of the day, and on its very first trip around town, it hit and killed a random rich guy on vacation. Yikes, right? That's rough. So his body was the first to be transported in this life-saving innovation, okay? What? Think about that. That's ironically insane. Here's why I'm telling you that. Similarly, if we are not focused on how we do what we are trying to do, even our intention to save lives can kill. All right? Don't run them over. All right? Save them. You're getting them out of here. Be careful with the way that you do it. Remember this, too. You're sharing good news, so act like it. All right? This is not a threatening or condescending affair. You're saying, I got good news, guys. Get excited about it. Encourage them. If you want to have an impact, encourage others by giving them good reasons to raise their hopes. Listen to how your Savior speaks, my Savior speaks. He says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Encouragement. That's good. In this world, you will have tribulation. Truth, a little bit of a downer, right? There's like, okay, well, that's good. But then he follows it right up. But take heart. I have overcome the world. We're right back up. Encouragement, right? That positivity. I got another question for you guys. Has anyone here ever had a Tony Chuck a Lonely Bar? Yeah. Was it because of my wife? That makes sense, because I'm pretty sure that she is personally responsible for at least 40% of their sales lifetime, because listening to her endorsement of that sweet sea salt and caramel confection is just aggressively irresistible, right? I can't resist it. And that is because of the simple fact, our testimony is a compelling retelling of our true story. Something in there that happened to you that you got to share. And you know, it's not even just chocolate. If you've met Raina, you better be into what she's into, right? Are you watching this show? Are you eating this food? Because I got to tell you, it's the greatest thing that ever happened. But we all do that. We love sharing the things that we love. And I'll tell you what, every single believer that is being saved, that is in this building, has got an incredible and encouraging personal story of how they overcame death because our example overcame the world. Share that. That is awesome. And in the exact same way that my wife compels us to agree on chocolate, well, Paul reminds us that that kind of encouragement should lead everyone to share the Savior mindset. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, right, in your story, the way that it's gone so far, well, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. That Savior mindset. But here's another little pushback, all right? That doesn't happen overnight, remember. I don't want you to be discouraged. It doesn't happen overnight. Even our most passionate pleas and encouraging endorsements take time to sink in. Right? I just thought it was a regular candy bar. And it was later on, I went, oh, this is really good, right? It takes some time. And Paul reminds us everything that was written in the past. I want you to hear that, because that is a profound, big statement there. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope. Amen. Scripture is the source of the first person testimony of our ultimate incredible example. And his story is all about encouragement and endurance. Boy, those two things go together. Encouragement and endurance, because it's when we want to quit that we need encouragement the most, right? It's that last mile. I was going to say last mile, but that makes it sound like I've run more than 1 mile. Yeah, it's that last 20 feet, whatever. So Jesus, knowing this, you know, Jesus showed us ultimate endurance to keep us encouraged when we're at the end of any rope. We just have to hang in there looking to Jesus as the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You can do it. Because his example was intensely inspiring, because it was strong and steady from start to finish. And if we want others around us, if we love them, if we want those others to see that strength, well, then our example also needs to endure to the very end, right? You can't take it. There's no time off. You got to keep plugging away. It's a process. Back when I was an idiot teenager, this is a lot of these stories. I'm just a terrible person. Back when I was an idiot teenager, I made some big mistakes and I got in some really big trouble. And there was this year that I was put on probation, and strangely, somehow, many of my absolute best friends disappeared. We couldn't do the same things anymore, and for some reason, we didn't hang out. And I got really angry, and I got really apathetic, because I realized how self-serving some people could be. But in that exact same year, some of my earlier grade school goody-two-shoes friends wrote my mom a letter to ask how I was doing, because they were worried about me and they were worried about the crowd that I was hanging around. I hadn't talked to them in a long time. I'd really just kind of thrown them away. And I realized in that moment, it affected me. I realized in that moment how truly caring some people could be. And it was way more powerful, because staying steady stands out in a world that is full of compromise and quitting. It was all of those people. A lot of them are in this room. I mean, it is big, huge deal, because I was the others. And there's a lot of other Noahs who you are just teaching right now with your example. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we just do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity in your life around you, to the others that have been placed around you, let us do good to all people. And there is nothing that you can do that is better than saving someone's life. So, think about those people around you right now, at work, at home, wherever you're at, in this church, but in all of your relationships. Hear them out, egg them on, and then keep it up, so that all of those others can catch sight of the Savior that saved you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you so much, and we follow your lead to serve your children by learning to love them the way that you do. Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to engage and encourage and endure as we aim to show others your life-saving love story that's at work in each one of us. And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for reaching out with the ultimate example of the real relationship that can save all of our lives. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.